Support for this KQED podcast comes from ACT. Tom Stoppard returns to ACT with Indian Ink, direct from its sold-out run in New York. Limited performances run January 14th through February 8th at the Geary Theater. ACT-SF.org.
Good morning. I'm Queena Kim, and this is the California Report. The United States declared victory over measles 15 years ago and said it had been eliminated from our country. But now, California is in the middle of what's being considered the worst measles outbreak since then. New numbers from the state say there have been 59 cases so far. The most recent outbreak has been traced back to the happiest place on earth, Disneyland. Lisa Alaferes is the editor of KQED's State of Health blog, and I asked her, what do we know about how this started?
So what the state is saying is that between December 17th and 20th, someone was at Disneyland who had measles. Measles is incredibly infectious. If a person with measles enters a room where people are not immune, they haven't been vaccinated, 90% of the people in that room will get measles. So this person was in a very crowded place, Disneyland, tens of thousands of people there over 3 days. People were there. They traveled back to their homes. The cases are primarily in California, but in other states and even Mexico as well.
So here's my question. Like, there was a time when almost everybody sort of got measles until the vaccine was invented or discovered in 1963. Not to be too trite, but like, you know, it's not like Ebola where, you know, people are dying because of this. So why is this such a big deal? What are we so concerned about?
Actually, plenty of people did die of measles before the vaccine. So it would sweep through. There would be 3 to 4 million cases a year in the United States back in the 50s. 500 people on average would die every year. And another 1,000 people would be left with chronic disability because of brain infection, encephalitis that they would get that's related to measles. Now, those complications are rare, but they exist. And this is what has public health officials very concerned is those illnesses are completely preventable. Those deaths are preventable. And certainly we have in Orange County kids who are not vaccinated who are told to stay home from high school for 3 weeks until they're out of the possible zone of possibly spreading measles to others.
So when someone gets measles, how are health officials responding?
This is a heavy lift for health officers. So I spoke with Erica Pond, who's the deputy health officer for Alameda County, and she described that they've had to actually divert people from working on Ebola preparations to responding to measles. Measles is here right now. So they've had 40 people working on this in the health department. They have to do what's called contact tracing. So say, you know, you have the measles, you go to work. Well, now they have to go to, they would have to come here to KQED and say, hey, we now have to interview everyone to see what their immunization status is, if they should be tested for immunity, if they don't know their immunization status, if they're feeling sick at all, there have to be all these preparations. It's really very time and labor intensive.
Lisa Alaferes, the editor of KQED's State of Health blog, thanks for talking with us.
Great to be here, Queena.
The right to die, or assisted suicide, was the subject of debate in Sacramento yesterday. State lawmakers introduced a bill that would give terminally ill patients more say over how and when they die. The proposed law would allow physicians to prescribe lethal medication to patients who request it. The California Report's health reporter, April Domboski, has more.
Robert Olvera's daughter died last year of leukemia. She was 25. The last 4 months of her life, she was bedridden, blind, and plagued by excruciating headaches that no medicine would alleviate. Olvera is haunted by what she said to him.
Give me some pills so I can go to sleep, Daddy. No one should have to live like this.
Olvera is a doctor. Standing with a group of lawmakers in Sacramento, he said his daughter should have had the option to end her own life and bypass months of pain.
She suffered horribly as I sat next to her, not being able to do anything.
Senate Bill 128 would allow California doctors to prescribe lethal medication to patients like Olvera's daughter. The End of Life Option Act would require two doctors to confirm that the patient is mentally competent and unlikely to live more than 6 months. But opponents fear that some older patients could be coerced into taking the drugs.
Not all families are happy families. And there's an epidemic of elder and disability abuse.
Marilyn Golden is with the Disability Rights and Education Defense Fund. She says the bill might create a problem with insurance companies, too.
Direct coercion isn't even necessary. If insurers deny or even merely delay expensive, life-sustaining treatment, patients will, in essence, be steered towards doctor-prescribed suicide.
If the bill passes, California would become one of six states with a similar law, including Washington and Oregon. Though data shows few people in those states actually ask for or take the drugs. In Oregon in 2013, doctors prescribed the drug to 122 people. 71 actually took it. For the California Report, I'm April Dembosky in Sacramento.
The UC Regents are meeting in San Francisco this week, and they gave an update on how they're addressing sexual violence on campus. You might remember UC Berkeley and UCLA are among the California colleges the feds are investigating for their handling of such cases. Education reporter Zadie Stavely tells us more.
The task force announced that teams on all 10 UC campuses will review reports of sexual misconduct to make sure they were handled correctly. Also, every campus will have a dedicated advocate trained to provide crisis intervention for students who are victims of sexual violence. Rishi Ahuja attends UC Berkeley, and he's a member of the task force. He says because of the changes, he expects more students will come forward to report sexual assault.
So looking forward, we're going to need to make sure that we scale up on big campuses such as Berkeley, where I attend, where one survivor advocate for a population of over 30,000 undergrads simply won't cut it.
The task force is still working on streamlining other procedures across all campuses, including offering services to those accused of sexual violence. For the California Report, I'm Zadie Stavely.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, January 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queena Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And Digital Foundry, working with leading organizations to jumpstart digital innovation. More online at digitalfoundry.com.